Hey, thanks for coming back. thank you for being here. And it's truly good to be here tonight. And so we've been thanking him. I want to talk tonight, kind of tying into connecting with Sunday morning's message, where we talked about supernatural help for stressed out saints. I want to pick up on that and talk about, I know Miss June mentioned, we talked about it afterwards, just about the power of gratitude. And I want to talk tonight to you about the three dimensions, living in three dimensions of gratitude, looking at it a little differently, you know, particularly subjects that we've heard a whole lot about. Sometimes it's good to find a new peephole to look at it through. And so I want to do that tonight. And it's so important that we all understand the power of gratitude in our lives. And we're going to be looking at three dimensions of gratitude. I'm going to talk about the past, the present, and the future. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can be grateful to God in all three of those dimensions, in the past, in the present, and in the future, for his faithfulness behind us now and what awaits us. And I want to talk about that tonight. And I'm reminded of a story a number of years ago when I was pastoring in Mississippi, fresh out of seminary there in northwest Mississippi. As we do here, we help people in benevolence a good deal. And one particular morning, I was there at the church by myself. We'd recently renovated some in the church and renovated the office that I had. And one thing that I probably regretted doing is it was almost snow white carpet in that office. It was some kind of pretty, you know. He washes our sins white as snow. You can make it prophetic if you want to. And it was just, the office was really nice. And I was there one morning. I was by myself, heard a knock on the door and went. And there was a man there whom I had not met before. And his kind of approach was, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes, yes, I am." He said, "Well, I'm kind of down on my luck and I'm needing some help." And I said, "Well, come on in." And invited him into the office. And as I got my seat and he came in, that's when I noticed that he had some mud and grime and grease on his shoes. And I could see every place he had stepped on that carpet and had a seat. And so I didn't say anything to him about it. I didn't want to, you know, offend him nor embarrass him. I had some thoughts, though, you know, circulating in my mind about it. And so I was talking to him, and he was just kind of a little bit belligerent. Well, you know, I came by here, I'm needing some help. And to be honest, he was somewhat demanding. And so I just started sharing Jesus with him. I talked to him about how much the Lord loved him and how the Lord could help him, you know, get back on his feet, and that we'd do what we could as well. And so I talked to him, and there wasn't a high level of receptivity. It was more like, "I get you spill over with so I can get out of here." And so I was kind, and then I told him, I said, "Well, just give me a moment, and I'm going to go back." We had a food pantry, and I went back, and I got, you know, a pretty hefty bag of groceries and tried to pick different things in there and took him back. And I said, "This is one thing that we can do to help you," because he needed food as well as a number of other things. And I presented him this bag of groceries, and he just took them and just walked out of my office, and I followed him to the door. And as I was following him to the door, he was looking down in the bag, and he said, "Who wants this stuff? I don't like that. I don't like that either. And I sure don't like that." And I found myself kind of quickening my pace toward him because I had some thoughts that were not Holy Spirit inspired. I kind of shifted from being kind to want to grab him by the neck, a nap of the neck, and kick him on out of the building. But I checked myself and I said, "Have a good day, sir." And he went in onto the parking lot to his vehicle, just complaining about the groceries. They were good groceries. I mean, I would have been happy to have them at my house. And so I went back to my office and I was just kind of upset. How ungrateful can someone be? You know, I never knew him, but yeah, he could show up and I send him home with food. And yeah, he's just, you know, just like felt entitled and demanded. That's what we're church. That's what we're supposed to do. And with no thought of a thank you or anything like that. And then I walk back into my office and I see all that and I go get cleaning supplies and come back in there and clean my carpet. And then I began to think about that white carpet. And I began to think how holy and pure that Jesus is. And how many times with my complaining, critical remarks, and ingratitude, have I trampled on what he's blessed me with, not recognized what he's blessed me with, not appreciated what he's done for me. Times he was trying to share something with me that would help me, but I thought I knew better. I had other things to do. How many times have I walked away from someone really trying to help me, but because my mind was somewhere else, I didn't even know what was going on. And I became convicted. And I just think this, the truth about gratitude and thanksgiving, it's just one of those foundational teachings of Scripture we need to encounter often because we are so tempted to be forgetful of it. You know, sometimes just the next little crisis we face will cause us to forget everything we know about being grateful. Just the slightest thing where we encounter resistance and we don't get our way, all of a sudden we forget all the good things that surround us. Having a grateful heart protects us against that kind of hardness, against that kind of insensitivity, that kind of lack of self-awareness about what's going on around us, what's going on with other people in our circle, so to speak. So I got frustrated and angry at that man while he was there and before he left, but not long after he was gone, I found myself being very frustrated with Eddie Lawrence because I realized that what he had done was minimal compared to things I'd done to the Lord. His goodness and his holiness. Now, I could probably say tag and you're it, and you could tell me similar stories where God's rang your bell about stuff like that. I want you to think, listen to this scripture out of John 48. I want us to look back for a moment on God's faithfulness. And here's a scripture that kind of, I'm going to call this the ever mentality. E-V-E-R, listen to this, John 4:28, the woman at the well when she left her water pot. This is, I think, in the King James Version. You know, she goes back and she tells all the Samaritans. She went back to the city and she said, told all the Samaritans of that city they believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. He told me all that I ever did. The ever mentality reminds us that Jesus, that our Lord, knows all that we've ever done. He knows everything about us. Even before we came into being, he planned us. He knew us. Jeremiah said he knew me before I was in my mother's womb. You are born with a plan and a purpose. And if you wanted to rewind the tape, so to speak, hit the rewind button, And think about all the things you've gone through in your life. There's one thing for sure. You're here tonight because he saw you through it. He knows all things ever you've done. It's the ever mentality. Your past. Think about the sins he has forgiven us of. Think about the sins we would have committed had he not intervened. Think about the times we would have gone on to be with him had he not intervened. I remember when I was just a little fella, I think I was about 5 years of age, My dad and mom, they went to visit some friends one night about 6-7 miles from the house. And these friends had an old well out in front of the... They actually lived in a mobile home, but there was an old well out in front. And it had a stone thing around it, like a concrete, big concrete pipe, just a circle. It didn't have any covering over it. It didn't have a windlass over it. It was just open. And it was pretty deep. You know, there was water in there. So I was outside playing. It got dark, and they were inside. And I found out I could climb up on top of that rim and just run around like a squirrel. I was just running around on that well and having the time of my life. Didn't really know any better. I was just a little guy scampering around. And I remember Dad and Mom, the door popped open, and they came out ready to go. "Hey, Eddie." And they looked, and my mom saw what I was doing. She ran, grabbed me off of that well. My dad's right beside her. And she just broke down crying. I mean, out loud, just started weeping. I thought, what did I do wrong? She just held me so tight, and we got in the car, and she was just shaking like a leaf, and we drove away, and I'm like, what is going on? And then, you know, after she come down, I got to talk. "Don't you realize you could have fallen off in there, and it was so deep, we wouldn't even have known where you were. You would have drowned. You would have gone missing." And she realized, you know, that I was just racing around on the rim of death and didn't know it. But God was watching over me. Our youngest son, Nathan, this is when we lived in Haleville. We were in the parsonage, and something was going on in the house. We had some things going on. He went missing. And we got, "Where's Nathan?" This was when he was like 2 years old, just old enough just to walk around pretty good, to reach the doorknob, 2-3 years old. Mickey can tell you the exact age, but he was just a little fella. We got to missing him. And finally, we heard a knock on the front door right in the middle of this search. We go to the front door. There is a man holding Nathan. We had never seen him before. It's a pretty small town. We'd lived there several years. We never saw him before, and we never saw him after. Didn't have a clue who he was. Opened the door. He was holding Nathan. And he said, "Is this your little boy?" "Yes, Nathan, you know." Well, he said, "I come over the hill," and he was just sitting in the middle of the road. We lived there on a busy city street, 30th Street. And he said, "So I thought I better stop." And he figured out it must have been from our house. It's out there. But again, you know, God just does stuff like that. You know, some of us keep the angels busy. Like, our daughter was that way. We had to call the poison and control center so many times. They would, like, when we'd call, they'd say, "Well, what's Carabeth done now?" It was kind of like that, you know. But he knows all things ever we've done. Everything about you. So sometimes when you get a little down, or maybe frustrated or feeling ungrateful, or, you know, just need to pick me up, just begin to think about the ways God has watched over you, what he saw you through. Some of you in here tonight have been through some tough stuff. You certainly wouldn't want to go through it again. Some of you have been through some stuff in the room tonight that you didn't think you were going to make it through it. You've stared death in the face. You've stood by the graveside and said goodbye to a loved one. Some of you know extremely deep hurt, but you're here. You're loving God. You're living. You're breathing. You're praising him. Something about remembering God's faithfulness, the ever mentality. He knows all things ever I've done. He's always been so faithful. Let me talk to you a moment about the present. We don't want to forget moment by moment that he's with us right now. Not that he's always been with us. He's always been faithful, but he's with you right now, no matter what you're going through. And I call this the never mentality. Here's the scripture, Hebrews 13:5. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the never mentality. What do I mean by that? A mentality that says, never will I be without my Lord. Never, not a moment, not a second, not a situation, not a circumstance. No mountain I face, no giant I face, no walls that wall me in, no trouble I'm in. Never will he leave me nor forsake me. He's a very present help in time of trouble. We have his promise. Now, we all love his manifest presence when we experience it. And you know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck, or you just sense the presence of the Lord. You can feel the energy, and sometimes you feel the anointing like waves just flowing upon you or from you or through you, in you. And it's awesome. I love it, love it, love it, love it. But if you don't have the goosebumps and you don't sense any anointing flowing, he's with you just the same. Because he promises you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But if you don't know, preacher, I'm going through a painful divorce, he's right there. But I got a child that's sick and suffering, he's right there. But I just got this report from the doctor, he's right there. I got this stack of bills, he's right there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I had a dear friend, he's now with the Lord. God really used him in my life, particularly when I became hungry for more of the Lord. And he was one of those surreptitious, spirit-filled saints hiding out in the midst of others who didn't really understand it. And God used him to help me. He was always so happy, brother. He was always just bubbling over, effervescent personality. When I share my testimony, I'll tell a story on him, how he'd just show up at my house in the morning at 7 o'clock, hold out my new shirts. Here's some new ones. Go get your old ones. I'm going to take them to the cleaners. And he'd just do stuff like that. I remember him sharing a story with me, because whenever he wanted to talk to me about something, I'd always listen, because he had such a walk with the Lord that marked his life. You just sense the joy of the Lord when you were around him. He said, Pastor Eddie, I was away one time down in Louisiana on a work trip. Said, I had some stuff going on. It's really important work-wise. And he said, I just got to missing home so badly. And it just kept growing through the day. And finally, I thought, my goodness, I need to see my wife and spend some time at home. He said, I just got my vehicle and decided I'd come back down later and finish this up. And I drove all the way home, which was about, 7-hour trip. And he said, I got home and I, welcomed my wife. I sat down and talked with her. And still, I had that feeling like, well, just kind of a lonely feeling. I talked with her. And he said, so I got with my kids. I spent some time with them. Thought, well, he said, I just kept feeling it. He said, then I realized. He said, I asked them to excuse me for a little bit. He said, I went in the bedroom, closed the door. I got down on my knees, and I started talking to the Lord. He said, it finally got to me that I was just missing time with the Lord. And I never forgotten that. Because sometimes we could have emotions circulating around in us and these longings. Often that can be your spirit man or spirit woman, whatever you want. Your spirit hungering to be with the Lord. Now, he's always with you, but let's just be honest here. You know what I mean by this. He's always with us. But are we always with him? Now, I know in terms of location, yes. But he's always available to us. But are we always available to him? If you're lonely, he said, I'll never leave you. He's there. Enjoy that intimate fellowship with him. There is pleasures forevermore in his presence. Joy, pleasures forevermore. He meets the deepest longings of our heart. But oh, how we ought to be thankful and grateful that he's a friend that sticks closer to their brother. He's not going to bail out on us. He's always there no matter what. No matter what. One time there was a contest to define what friend is. And one of the winning entries was, a friend is a person who walks in when the whole world walks out. That's Jesus. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Now, let's talk a moment about the third one that has to do with the future. And because sometimes it helps us just to become thankful for what's coming we haven't experienced yet. And the scripture says, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. His thoughts toward us are good. We have been assured of eternal life with him. Now, if you've ever looked through a telescope or pulled up those NASA photos of all the pictures from deep space, Jesus made all that. If you've ever gone out west, we went out west a couple of summers ago, summer before last, to Yellowstone, and we saw those beautiful, beautiful mountains. Like that, he did a pretty good job with that. I'm just here to say that's good work, Lord. I mean, sometimes just go down to the edge of the river and look. It's pretty amazing. Look at that person next to you. That's pretty amazing. He's a pretty good builder. And yet before he left, he told his disciples, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I wonder what that looks like. I mean, look at the evidence we have of what he did in 6 days. Now, he's been gone almost 2,000 years. I'm imagining that kitchen looks pretty fine, don't you, ladies? I bet that man cave's nice, don't you guys? Seriously, what he has that awaits us, and yet that will pale in significance to being in his literal glorified presence, to see him face to face. That's going to be amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Hebrews 13 says, 21 says, he's going to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Whatever is coming, it's going to be glory. Glorious for us. It is. Book of Revelation paints some pictures for us of the river of God, the garden of God, the tree of life, the leaves for the healing of the nations, the transparently pure gold streets, the ivory. All John did the best he could to describe it, but it's way beyond what we could imagine or he could imagine, even though he saw it. That's awaiting us. I've been with families and been with loved ones to say your final goodbyes. And for a Christian, there's such a weighted assurance there to know that this is just a parenthesis. It's not a permanent separation. When one believer is saying goodbye to another believer who's going to be with Jesus, this is temporary. There's a reunion coming. We're all going to hang out with Jesus. We're going to eat at his table. We're going to have, I believe, a lot of activity, glorious, creative activity that we're going to be involved in for eternity. It's going to be beyond just finding a billowy cloud and playing a harp. It's going to... I mean, it may very well be now that his creative power is just continuing to create, I mean, new universes. And it may take us a while to skip across some of those, you know. Who knows all that waits us, but it's good. It's good. And so sometimes when you're feeling frustrated or ungrateful here, just realize Amazon has not delivered your last package yet. There's a heavenly Amazon. There's a whole lot headed your way. And it's going to be awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. Just that word forever is absolutely loaded. It's the forever mentality. And God's promises assure us of this. Listen to some scriptures. I just thought I'd end up tonight just washing you with the water of the word. Matthew 6:13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Luke 1:33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. John 6:58. He who eats this bread will live forever. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you
forever.
You'll never be alone, folks. Romans 16:27. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:9. His righteousness endures forever. Galatians 1:5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You're part of something that's never ending. Your union with Christ carries a glory with it that will never, never end. In Philippians 4:20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 6:20, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. That word that's in you will always be in you. It's forever. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. 1 Peter 4:11, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:11, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace of knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 2 John 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. The truth, even the truth you're learning tonight, will abide with you forever. Jude 25, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Revelation 1:5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 4:9, whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Revelation 7:12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You might want to get used to being a thankful person because you're going to give thanks forever. Amen. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22:4. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Would you stand with me? If there's not something right in front of you can be thankful for, think of what's a-coming. If you're having trouble with that, remember, the Lord's with me. I can always be thankful for that. I'm not alone in this. I have access to any wisdom I need, all the power in the universe, and I know I'm loved. He's right here with me. Stir yourself up by way of remembering His faithfulness through the footsteps of your life. What He's led you to, what He's spared you from, what He's saved you from, what He's blessed you with. On and on it goes. Simply be grateful. Be grateful. Let's be grateful. Lord, I pray that You just help us in the middle of our next complaint to remember these things. And Lord, let's back it up. Even before we get to that point, steer us away from complaining, from being ungrateful, for focusing on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Lord, help us to be a grateful person, to be a grateful people. Help us tonight, Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team just to worship a little bit. And I think it'd be good for us just to take these moments and bow. And let's step into, as much as we can, governing every thought for a few moments toward thankfulness to God. Don't let any thought lead you away from the place of gratitude for a few moments, okay? Just as the worship is extended, just begin to thank Him. I'm gonna silence my voice. Be thankful for a few moments.
I love you.
Now let's worship Him together. Before we go tonight, I want you to know I'll be up here, be happy to pray with any of you that have any prayer needs. If there's more than one, there's others that will join me in praying. But I want to remind you of some things that Father God says through His Word about you, just to bless you. I remind you, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not below. You are blessed when you left home to come here tonight. You'll be blessed as you leave here to go home tonight. He is for you and He is not against you. The plans He has, they are good plans. His plans are to prosper you, to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'll remind you when you're out there on the battlefields that you are an overcoming one. You overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony and loving not your life until the death. And I remind you that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear Him. The Lord of the angel armies has you covered, that by His stripes you're healed, because He is wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He was chastised that you might live a life of peace. And through those scourging wounds, His stripes, you're healed. I remind you, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. You have the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Now, when you're around that old serpent, remember, you have been authorized in His name to cast out demons. You can speak with new tongues. No deadly thing will hurt you. You can trample under your feet all the power of the enemy. He knows you. Father knows you. He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. The very same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells mightily in you. Now, I encourage you, you plant your life by the river of living waters. Let it flow through you. Because if you'll do that, your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Honor the Lord in all things. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't despise prophesying. But love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love one another even as Christ Jesus loves you. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Light for this dark world. Salt in this world. Now go with the grace that God gives you. Seize some new territory. Claim some ground for our King. And because you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, be a witness for Him. You have the mind of Christ. Just go on, use it. Use it. You have it, use it. You already have so much of what you're praying to receive. Appropriate it by faith. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God bless you. Be covered by His blood, motivated by His love, empowered by His grace. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Happy Wednesday. Live in the three dimensions of gratitude.